The following audio is the weekly message podcast from Vaughn Forest Church, Montgomery, Alabama. To learn more about Vaughn Forest Church, visit us online at vaughnforest.com.
So if there's one thing that I've learned in my 33 years here on this planet, is that life has its ups and it has its downs. It has its valleys and it has its peak. It has its high moments and it has its low moments. And in Scripture, many times the Bible uses the analogy of a race, of a contest, to illustrate what our life is like. And I think it's a really, really good analogy, because if you've ever done a race, you know that there are times where it is tough, there are times you want to quit, and then there are times where you are on top of the world and nothing could be better. And I want to give you guys an example from my own life. Back in 2014, I actually completed an Ironman triathlon. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, Chad, you look very well fed to be a triathlete. And you're not wrong, but back in 2014, I was in a little bit better shape. For those of you that don't know, an Ironman is a 2.4-mile swim followed by a 112-mile bike ride followed by a 26.2-mile marathon run. And you do them back to back to back. And I actually have a picture for you guys. Yep, there we are. That's me and my training partner, Steven, at the finish line of the Ironman. It took us 14 hours and 15 minutes. The cutoff is 17 minutes. The winner usually does it in around 8 or 9 hours. So my time was not that great, but I'm still willing to bet it's better than your time, so neener, neener. And then I think we actually have another picture of my wife and I at the finish line. Yep, there we are. That's us with the medal at the finish line. But let me tell you, during that race, during that 14 hours and 15 minutes, there were times of extreme highs. Oh, this is great. The finish line, it was awesome having all these people cheer for you. And there were times where there were some extreme lows. I even remember one time we were on the run, and I remember thinking, all right, if I go and take a nap for like an hour and a half, I'll be able to still beat the cut. Like, I just wanted to stop. I just wanted to curl up and go to sleep. And there were some times of some extreme lows. And there was actually one time when we were training for this race, we were on a 5-hour bike ride. And this is one of the lowest points I've ever been in my life. We were going around, we ended up riding over 100 miles. And for those of you that have ever done any sort of long distance stuff, you know that you have to start taking in nutrition, because otherwise your body's gonna quit out on you. It's gonna shut down. And so you have to take in nutrition. Well, on a bike, obviously there's not a lot of places to store nutrition. So you have to plan your route around being able to stop at different places and refuel. And for those of you who are familiar with the area of Montgomery, we were about 3.5 hours into this ride, and we were coming up Flowers Road over there by the John Hall store, by Macon East School. So we were way far out. We'd been riding around, and I was coming up Flowers Road, and I just remember I was getting dizzy. I was tired. I was getting really sad. Like, it was a real low moment, but I just kept thinking, if I can just get to the John Hall store, I'm going to be able to refuel and I'm going to be fine. And so we're pressing on and we're riding. And finally we get to the John Hall store, and I go up, and the door has a sign on it that says, out fishing, be back in a couple of days. And I'm like, oh no, this is not good. So we know that up Marla Road past the Waters, there's some more stores. So we get back on our bikes and we ride about another 5 or 6 miles to get to this other store. And again, this whole time I'm getting dizzy and this is not good. And I can tell that things are going south for me. And it was a real low time. I wanted to quit. I wanted to curl up. I just wanted to be done with it. But we pull up next to this little shack and we go inside, and y'all, they had honey buns and Coke, and that honey bun saved my life. It was so good. I have never had anything as good since. It was awesome. You remember when you were a kid playing Nintendo and Mario would get the mushroom and go like, da-da-da-da-da-da? Like, that's what it was like. I eat this honey bun and I drink this Coke and I'm like, let's go, let's go. And then all of a sudden, I'm on top of the world. I'm ready to do this thing. We finish out that 5-hour bike ride. And I think in our lives, it is like a race. There are times where we have these extreme lows, these tough times. The Bible refers to them as trials. And then there are times of extremely on top of the mountain, things couldn't get any better. And what we want to talk about today is that in those low times, in those times of heartache and persecution, how we can have joy. And see, the book of James, to set the stage for you guys, was written to the early Christian church. It was one of the first books that was actually written chronologically for the New Testament. And James is the author, obviously, it's called the book of James. And James was the brother of Jesus. He was the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, to be more specific. And he was oftentimes, we know him now as the Bishop of Jerusalem, which means that he was in charge of the church in Jerusalem. And when he wrote this around the mid-40s AD, Jesus had, his resurrection wasn't that long ago. So folks still, they were still, you know, this thing had happened pretty recently. And he's writing it to the Christians who are scattered all over the world. See, early in the book of Acts, we see revivals where thousands are saved. And then the persecution comes, and the hard times come, and these Christians are scattered. And even as they are scattered, there is still persecution, and there are dark times that are heading their way. And so James is writing to these folks who are scattered all around the world. And they were facing this intense persecution, these valleys that are beyond low. And again, if you know anything about the early Christian church, about the kinds of persecution, the kinds of trials that they faced, you know that it was awful. It was horrible. So when we read these words in just a moment, that where James is encouraging these folks to stay the course and stay in the fight, please know they're not just trite little sayings. They're not just little Facebook likes on a status. These are real heartfelt words, and it is a charge from God written through the forefathers of our faith for us to stay in the fight and keep living all for Jesus. And the question that we have to wrestle with today is, are we going to take that journey of radical faith? Are we going to follow through when in this book of James, where God tells us to stay the course and to consider it joy? Are we willing to live different than the world? Because you see, when those who are without Christ walk through trials and walk through these tough times, it is so hard for them to have hope. It is so hard for them to have hope. But we know that we can have hope. And I truly believe that one of the biggest reasons that God gave us the book of James is so that those of us who are living in this broken world that is loaded with trials can turn to these scriptures and find hope and to find the way that God wants us to live and react through these dark times. Because what defines us is not how we react when things are good, but what defines us is how we react when things bottom out, when things are low, when we go through these trials. That reveals whether or not our faith is in us or our faith is in God. And it would be very easy this morning, because I think a lot of folks, they look at when I talk about the persecution of the early church, it'd be very easy this morning for us to go, man, what we face is nothing compared to what they face. And that may be true, but please know that the things that we walk through, the trials that we go through, that's real to us. That's real to us, and it matters to us. And because it matters to us, it matters to God. It matters to God. When my children, when they have problems, just things that maybe don't matter so much in the long run, but matter to them, it matters to me. And God, we are God's children. So when we walk through these dark times, it matters to God because it matters to us. And the question is how we respond to the trials in our lives with our lives. Because here's our big truth. How we respond to God in our trials today influences our impact in the future. How we respond to God in our trials today influences our impact in the future. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to stay in the fight. I want to stay in it. I want to be useful as an example of God's faithfulness, even when it hurts. And in the same way that God used that early church to go out through the midst of all this persecution and in the midst of all of this bad stuff, in the same way that God used them to change the world, I want the world to be able to look at me and say, that guy's different. When he goes through hard times, he has hope and he has faith. Why is that? And I want to be useful to the kingdom of God to change the world. And let me tell you guys this, this world that we live in needs the church to have an impact. And it needs Christians to live for Jesus. And it needs Christians, even in the hard times, to respond with faith and with hope. So how do we do that? Let's find out. We're gonna be in James chapter 1 today, and we're in James 1, 1 through 11. Let's take a look at what it says. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Remember, these Christians had all been scattered among the 12 tribes, that is the followers of Christ, scattered among the nations. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Check this out. But when you ask, You must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossom falls, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. So that's a chunk of scripture, and I want to kind of go back and break it down and kind of examine what it's how it's telling us to react when we go through these dark times. And I have three essentials today for you guys of keeping faith in the trials. Three essentials to keeping faith in the trials. And the first one is to remember we are in God's bigger plan. Remember that we are in God's bigger plan. James 1, 2 through 4 says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Okay, so when we walk through tough times, and we talked about this a second ago, we know when we respond with joy, even when it hurts, even when it's tough, when we respond with joy and when we respond in obedience, that sticks out as different. Because the normal way to respond, the normal way to react is woe is me and to be sad and to be down in the dumps. And when we say, hey, you know what, it's okay, that sticks out as different. And honestly, to a broken world, that sticks out as a little bit weird. It's a little bit weird. And think about this. What was the last weird thing you saw? For me, it was seeing no kickers in the state of Alabama be able to make a field goal yesterday. But think about that. Think about what was the last weird thing you saw, the last thing that stuck out to you. Things that are different stick out to us. And in the same way, when we have faith and when we have joy in these trials, it shows the beauty and faithfulness of God to a world that is desperately looking for something to believe in. When we respond differently, that shows how good God is. You see, faith is all about trusting in God's way, even when it seems hard for us and when it seems easier to go with the crowd. That's what faith is. Faith is trusting in what you can't see, is what scripture tells us. And joy is all about having confidence that no matter what, God is in control. We can have joy because we know that God is in control. And you see, the book of James here is encouraging us not to see the trials for what the world sees them as, but to see the trials for what they really are. And that is a testing of our faith in God growing us, and to see the potential of what could be through these dark times, and that is what God could accomplish through them. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7 says this: "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." 1 Peter says there, what it's saying is that our faith is being tested, our faith is being refined, and that is of greater worth than gold. And that is what God is doing. When God takes us through these trials, God is refining us and God is making us more like Jesus. See, these trials and these tough times, they engage our faith. They put our faith into motion. Think about what's happening in Texas right now and in Houston. When the storm hits and all this devastation comes, what happens? People start heading that way. People start going to help, neighbors helping neighbors. I heard the Cajun Navy had like boats lined up heading in into Houston. Can you imagine if you see one of those people from Swamp People come riding up to you if you're in the water and you're thinking, oh my gosh, is there an alligator around me or something? No, not good. But what was happening was these folks were coming and they were helping and they were serving. In the same way, when we go through trials, when we go through dark times, it engages our faith and it sets it in motion. Because see, without the trials, we would probably be tempted to think that we can do it on our own. But in the trials, we know that we are required to cling to God. So even in these tough times, we know that God is refining our faith and making us to be more like him and making us, encouraging us, equipping us to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are around us. See, God endured everything that we endure. God went through everything that we went through. When this rebel race known as humanity looked at God and said, no, we're going to do it our way. God said, I'm going to bridge the gap. And the way that God bridged the gap between himself and us was through the work of Jesus. And when Jesus came to this world, he lived a perfect, sinless life, and he endured every temptation, every trial, dark times beyond our imagination, death on a cross, a brutal death on a cross. In Hebrews 4:15, this is what it says why. It says, for we do not have a high priest, that's Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet did not sin. And in the same way that Jesus came and endured all of this for us, maybe God is taking you through a tough time in your life so that you can empathize with someone else as they go through it. Maybe there is someone who is not a Christ follower that you know that's going to be able to look at you as you go through this trial, look at you having joy and having faith and saying, man, what is that that you have? How can you do that? And maybe God is taking you through that so that you can be better equipped for the work of ministry in the lives of those around you. So God is preparing all of us through the trials in our lives. And remember our big truth, how we respond to God in our trials today influences our impact in the future. So we can consider it joy when we face these trials, because we know that we are being equipped for the work of ministry, that God is refining us, that God is making us to be more like him, but we must respond with joy, obedience, and trust. Our second essential for today is that when we go through the trials is to seek wisdom from God, not wisdom from man. Seek wisdom from God, not wisdom from man. James 1:5-8 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Now, I think that a majority of us have friends or family that we call when things start to go bad for us. You know, there's probably someone that you text. There's someone that you call. And that's good. That is good. That is a great thing. We were made to do life together. We were made to be connected to one another. It is good. I can tell you guys, I can give you a list of the folks that when I'm having a bad day or something's happened, I can text them or call them and say, hey, man, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm having a rough day. This isn't going so well. And I know those folks are going to pray for me, and I know that I'm going to get encouragement from them. And that is a very, 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 very good thing. During the Ironman race, my buddy Steven and I, man, we kept each other encouraged. There were times when I was low. There were times when he was low. And we kept each other encouraged. And through that mutual encouragement, we were able to finish the race. But our first call, when we go through these dark times, when we go through these trials, must be to God and his word. The first place we need to stop needs to be with God and his word. His word, the Bible, scripture, trumps all opinions and ideas of man. God's word reigns supreme. And scripture tells us here in James that God gives wisdom and comfort to all of us freely, and all we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask. And in a world where we feel the pressure to lay down our belief in God's word and give into the world's views, we desperately need wisdom from God. And it is available in the Bible. It is there for the taking. And we are called as Christ followers to turn to God for wisdom and turn to the word that has been planted in our heart, because that is what gives us a biblical understanding of how we can react to these trials, to these temptations, to these things, these valleys that we walk through. And this is how the Holy Spirit works in us. Proverbs 3:5-7 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. So if we're not to just endure the trials and tough times but be victorious over them, we have to turn to the word of God and to the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of man. Remember, seek wisdom from God, not wisdom from man. Our third essential to keeping faith in the trials this morning is to keep the right perspective. Focus on the eternal, not the material. Keep the right perspective. Have an eternal perspective, not a temporary perspective. James 1:9-11 says this, Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Now, Scripture, it's not telling us to not have money or to not have things. Those are fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But what Scripture is saying is that those things should never get in the way of an eternal perspective. And that those things, those temporary things, should never get in the way of trusting in God and following God and having, again, an eternal perspective. See, God's focus for you is not just what happens here on this life. Now, we know that God is working things out in this life for his glory and for our good. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. But God is more worried about your eternal character than he is your temporary comfort. And there are times that we go through these trials, that we go through these things that will fade away because God is refining us again and he is making us the way he wants us to be for all eternity. And that is more like Jesus. And here on this earth, there is no promise of a fairy tale ending. There is not. We can find comfort in God's word and we know that God will take care of us. But again, an eternal perspective is key here. Remember, most of the Christians in the early church that we talked about a little while ago, most of them faced persecution on a daily basis. Many of them faced martyrdom. Paul, who wrote a chunk of the New Testament, writes in some of his later letters that he is by himself. He has been abandoned. He is in this cell in conditions that are too far gone for us to even imagine. And Paul was eventually martyred in Rome. But at the end of his life, he was still saying, I'm not done. Let's keep going. Keep pressing on towards the prize. And even today, many, many Christians are facing persecution. And while we may not ever be faced with the choice of having to choose our life or our faith, we know that when we walk through the tough times, that God is there for us. And maybe you are in a tough time now. Maybe you are walking through a valley right now and it is tough and it is hard. And let me tell you, I know how you feel. A few years ago, I was really, really, really discouraged. And I was really, really down. I don't want to go into too many details about as to why, but basically I was doing everything I could to get out of ministry. I didn't want to be in anymore. It seemed like every single day was an uphill battle. And it seemed like there were no kind words, and no matter what I did, I made somebody upset. And I just remember going home every single day at the end of the day and just feeling depressed and feeling down and just not wanting to go through it. And I remember laying in my bed, sobbing at night, going, God, I don't know what you want from me. I don't know what you want me to do. I want out. Can I please go? And God said, stay the course. God said, stay the course. And let me tell you, on the other side of that now, God was good and God was faithful and God brought deliverance. And on the other side of that now, had I done that, I would not be standing before you today teaching this message. And I would not be where God wants me to be. And I can tell you on the other side that I am honestly grateful for the tough times because God was refining me and God was making me more like him and God was working on my character. And had I not gone through those trials, I don't know where I would be, but I would not be where God wants me to be. And God was faithful every single step of the way. And maybe throughout this message, as I'm talking about going through these tough times, you're thinking, why can't I just get Cliff Notes, man? Why do I have to walk through the tough times? Why can't we just read the message, adhere to it, and go on with our lives? And I think the answer is this, is that when all of our needs are met, and when we are satisfied, and when we are content, I think that we're tempted to just stay like that. And I think we're tempted to just rely on ourselves and not trust in God and not turn to God. And I think it's through those trials and it's through those tough times that God really shows up and God shows his character and God shows who he is. And remember, God is using the tough times to refine us. And God is using those tough times to make us into who he wants us to be and to make us healthy. A few years ago, my oldest daughter, Lena, was doing a cartwheel in our living room. She must have landed weird because she broke her arm. I'm talking like full-on break, one of those kind of breaks. And we rushed her to the hospital, and the hospital, you know, gave her some medicine for the pain and then sent us over to an orthopedic doctor. And we go in there, and the orthopedic doctor says, well, we have to set it so that it's going to heal right, and we need to do that pretty quickly here. And so looking at my daughter's face with tears in her eyes because she knew what was coming, holding her hand, her other hand that wasn't broken, I said, "Sweetheart, do you trust me?" And she said, "Yes, Daddy." And the doctor said it, and the tears streamed down her face, and the pain came. But let me tell you, had that doctor not had to put her through the pain of setting that arm, it wouldn't have healed right, and she would still have many, many, many problems with it today. And there are times in our lives where God has to set right what is wrong, and that can be a painful process, and that can be tough. But again, I was worried about her when she's older. I was worried about my daughter growing up and being whole and being correct. And in that same way, God has an eternal perspective, and he is worried about who you are for eternity. And so there are times where he has to set right what is wrong, even through the pain. And when the tough times come, the question for us is, are we going to recognize what really matters and grow through these challenges? Or are we going to allow these challenges to just be hard times? See, when we plant ourselves firmly in the Word of God and trust him through the hard times, remember where I talked about that's kind of weird? That's kind of odd to a world that doesn't understand that. You will be seen as a little off, but folks are going to wonder. They're going to wonder, how do you have this joy? How do you have this peace, even when everything around you is going crazy, and yet you are calm and you are trusting? That's going to be seen as a little bit odd. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." So we know that the tough times are coming. Scripture tells us that the tough times will come. The question for us is, how prepared will we be for those tough times? Are we building a solid foundation of turning to God's word, of knowing scripture, of prayer, of connection with godly friends around us, spending time with God? Are we doing that, or are we not? Are we not? Are we building our foundation on the rock that's going to sustain us? Or are we building a foundation on something that's not a rock, that's not going to sustain us, that's not going to stand when the trials come? And that is why here we believe that connection with others, prayer, reading scripture, worship, these things are so important so that we can respond in the right way when the trials come. Remember, how we respond to God in our trials today influences our impact in the future. That's our big truth for today. And we want to stay useful to God and others. We want to be prepared for these trials. Now, this morning, when I talk about having faith and having joy in the trials, maybe you're like, man, you don't know. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what it's like. Or maybe you just don't get it. Maybe it just sounds foreign to you. And I want you to understand something this morning. The reason that we as Christ followers can have hope in the trials is because we have faith in the one who overcame the great trial. And the greatest trial that any of us faced was sin and death. And the greatest trial that any of us faced was the judgment of a holy and righteous and loving but just God, and who we were separated from. But because of the work of Jesus on the cross, we know that Jesus has overcome the great trial. And that is the reason that we can have joy this morning, because we know that Christ came to this earth, died the debt that should have been ours, paid the debt that we could never pay. And because of that, when he rose victorious over the dead, because of that, we can have joy in the trials. And we can choose to build our lives on the rock of Jesus and stand firm for eternity because of the work of Jesus. And is that true of you this morning? Is that true of you? Because if your faith is in Christ, you have access to a power that can sustain you through anything. You see, and my faith won't inspire others unless I have it when all others seems hopeless. And when things are the most hopeless, that is when God is most present. And spiritual growth in our lives happens through the trials. And you see, and God wants to sanctify us. God wants to prepare us. And God wants to use us. And God is refining us to make us more like Christ and to make us the hands and feet of Jesus to a world that is desperately needing it. And so this morning, how will we respond? How will we respond? Remember, are three big essentials. That we are in God's bigger plan. We are in God's bigger plan. We can consider it joy when we face those trials. We want to seek wisdom from God, not wisdom from man. And we want to keep the right perspective, and that is an eternal perspective. Not focused on the material, but focused on the eternal. Now again, maybe this morning when I talk about a relationship with Jesus, you don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe that's foreign to you. And we would love to talk with you about that, because we believe that the best way to endure any hardship that comes, Scripture tells us that is a relationship with Christ. And Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we would love to talk with you about that. You can mark it on your Connect card. If we have any DST members in here, they're gonna be standing at the back in just a moment. They'll be wearing red lanyards. They would love to talk with you. They would love to pray with you. And if you want more information on what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, I encourage you, mark it on that card. We'd love to follow up with you. We would love to talk with you. I'll be down here. I would love to talk with you. Maybe today you need prayer because you're going through a tough time. Maybe there's something in your life that you're like, I'm struggling with this. I have a relationship with Jesus, but I'm really fighting this and I really need help. Maybe you need prayer this morning. Again, we would love to pray with you. We have folks standing in the back, our DST members that would love to pray for you. Or maybe you need to get connected to others and as you continue on this journey with Jesus. And I encourage you to stop by our Next Steps table right outside there in the lobby. We would love to talk with you about getting connected to others. But whatever it is, whatever the next step is that God is moving on your heart, just respond to him today. Respond to him. Don't wait. Respond. Remember, God wants to use the tough times in our lives to showcase his glory and to refine us, to make us more like Christ. And my prayer is that in the trial that you're in, whether you're in it now or maybe it's on its way, my prayer is that even in that dark time, you will be able to see the goodness and the richness of God's faithfulness in your life. And whether you're riding high today or walking through one of the valleys, I want you guys to remember these words of Jesus that really sums it up for us in John 16:33. Jesus says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." Let's pray. Father, we just love you. And God, we are so grateful, Lord, that you endured the greatest trial of all, and that is the trial of sin and death, so that we could spend eternity with you. And Father, if there is anyone in this room today that does not have a relationship with you, God, we know that your scripture says, again, in Romans 10:9, that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead, that they will be saved. And so, God, I just pray that now, Lord, that they could respond. If they want to start that relationship with you, God, they can just repeat these words after me, a prayer to you. And that just say, "Dear Jesus, I know that I have done things wrong. I know that I'm separated from you. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. Thank you for dying for me. And I believe you rose from the grave. I want to spend eternity with you." And Father, I just pray for those that maybe are walking through a dark time right now, Lord, that you will encourage them, God, even now, that you will just speak to their hearts. And God, you will lift them up. God, I pray that you will send godly friends around them. God, I pray that they will turn to your word. And God, we just pray, Lord, that you will work and move. God, we know that this world is dark and it is lost. And God, we know that you have sent your church to be the light. So God, when we walk through the dark times, we just pray that folks will see you. And in the name of Jesus, we pray.